And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. It is College Pro Week here on the Ticket. Yesterday, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, joined us. Tomorrow will be the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Friday, the voice of the Royals, Ryan LaFever, talk Royals baseball. And to talk Chiefs today is Matthew Derrick, our good friend from Chiefs Digest. Matthew, how you holding up in, during all of this crazy stuff?
Hanging in there so far. It's been the offseason I don't think anybody expected, so it's been a little bit unusual, but we're hanging in there.
That's all we can do. Well, let's jump right into it. We haven't talked to you since the draft. What are your thoughts on the Chiefs draft and how it went?
Yeah, maybe a little surprised about how it shook out, but I think especially with the first couple of picks, the Chiefs really hit a couple of their needs and some really big upgrades. Going running back in the first round, a little bit of a surprise, but I thought it could be in play if the Chiefs decide to go with the strategy, which they certainly seem to be going with, which is double down on offense. And, you know, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the kind of player that if he can add a dimension to this offense similar to what the Chiefs had when they had Kareem Hunt, it takes this offense to a whole other level. You know, when you had that first half of the 2018 season when you had Mahomes, Hunt, and all of those targets, you know, the Chiefs averaged over 7 yards a play. That'd be the best in NFL history since before 1950, when records are kind of sketchy, so it might actually be the best offense in league history. And he's got that potential. I mean, you know, this team could do that because you put him out there on the field. There's just so many different things that they can do, and I think Andy Reid can figure out some creative ways to use him. And then defensively, you know, going Willie Gay, the Chiefs went with, it seems like, a lot of trying to go for value picks, going for players that they feel that had the circumstances been differently, they might have gone a lot higher. Some cases it was injury that maybe dropped their draft stock. Some cases, you know, maybe it was not having the pro days. You know, in Willie Gay's case, he'd had some off-the-field issues. There'd been some discipline issues. But, you know, there's a perception that he's a first-round talent. And so being able to get that late in the second round, that's incredible value for the Chiefs. Now the question is going to be, you know, can he perform? Can he put some of the issues behind him and move forward? And, you know, it's going to be tough for any of these rookies to make, I think, an impact this season with the offseason that they have had. But the Chiefs seem to really hit a couple of their big needs, and I think they've got a couple of guys who could, if they pan out, be huge playmakers down the road.
20 of the 22 starters are coming back this season, which is unheard of for a Super Bowl champion. And certainly the biggest talk about two of those has to do with their contracts. Let's start with Chris Jones. What's the plan for the Chiefs? Rumors were they might trade Chris Jones if they get a first-round draft pick. They could just go ahead and stick with the tag on Chris Jones or work out a long-term deal. What are you hearing in regards to Chris Jones and his contract situation?
Yeah, right now it appears all quiet on the Western Front. There have been some discussions back and forth, but nothing substantial as far as talks go. And a huge part of that is that you simply look around the league right now and there's no long-term deals being done. There's so much uncertainty that no one is giving out any contracts that are really beyond the, you know, 1 year, and certainly not any big money. And you look at the free agency even this year, almost every contract that was given out, even if it's a 3 or 4 year contract, it has a 1 or 2 year out. And there really weren't big deals. I mean, really, the only thing that you could say was, you know, a big deal might have been, you know, DeForest Buckner getting traded to Indianapolis and then signing a long-term contract. And after that, things really shut down. I mean, we have not seen the typical craziness in the offseason as far as extensions go, and that extends around the league. So that's kind of the holdup. I mean, you know, going into the draft, trading Chris Jones, it was kind of like I think we talked about before the draft was, you know, was there a team that would be willing to give up draft capital knowing that they didn't have to sign Chris Jones if no one around the league wants to give out money right now? So, and that was the difficulty. So right now, I mean, all things being equal, I would say that I'd be surprised at this point if Chris Jones doesn't play for the Chiefs. I think he will. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't play under the franchise tag. I think that that's just kind of where they are. It's not the ideal situation. I think under ideal conditions, these two sides would have gotten a deal done, and you'd have a long-term deal in place. But right now, with no one knowing what the salary cap is going to be like next year, where the financial market for the league is going to be, it's just too difficult to get anything done. And the Chiefs have a bigger priority, so this isn't their number one thing to get done. And as a result, I think we're probably going to see this play out. Jones play under the franchise tag, and then everybody will see where they are next offseason and go through this again.
Well, and I'm cool with that, certainly. I'm Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, talking Chiefs football. Let me ask you this. We've seen what the Rams have done, and that they've done everything wrong. They gave the quarterback a lot of money, which that's something you basically have to do, but he's nothing close to Mahomes. They gave a running back a ton of money. That was a mistake, and I think a lot of people knew it when they gave it to him. They traded way too much to get Jalen Ramsey when they weren't a serious contender. Now he wants a big deal. And they give Aaron Donald a ton of money, and the Rams have so much money wrapped up in just a few players, and they don't have draft picks. I don't want the Chiefs to go down that route. I don't think the Chiefs will. I think the Chiefs are smarter than the Rams when it comes to all that. But there's only so much money to go around. And why should I care? It's not my money. It's not your money. But if it's about putting together the best team to win a Super Bowl, again, and certainly down the line as well, the concern I have with the Chris Jones and the Chiefs giving him a big deal is, one, he has had an injury history. He missed the first playoff game this past year. He is a dominant player at times. He's not great against the run. He is probably one of the best interior pass rushers. And without him, I don't know if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. He made a couple big plays and deflections, no doubt about that. And I respect Chris Jones, and I'd love to have him on my team. But if you're going to give Mahomes a ton of money, not if, when, we know that. Frank Clark, you got a lot of money tied up in him. Tyrann Mathieu's not on a long-term deal, but you got money tied up in him. I just don't want to see the Chiefs overextend themselves too far to where you got too much money sitting with a few players. I know that typically happens in the National Football League, but I don't want the I just don't know. I'm a little bit leery of giving a big deal to Chris Jones with everything else that I just mentioned.
Yeah, and it's been kind of a just worst case scenario for both sides and towards getting a deal done, because it looked like the Chiefs were well on their way to getting a long-term deal done with Chris Jones, leading into and even during the 2018 season. But then he goes out and has this huge year with 15 and a half sacks, and suddenly goes from being a guy who could you could re-sign to a pretty hefty extension, but not a back-breaking deal, to now being into the conversation and worthy of a discussion of having one of the top two or three contracts in the league at his position. And once Chris Jones got to that, and he's like, "Hey, I've done it. I've proven it. I've delivered on the field." That made it a little bit more difficult to get it done, and that's why both sides kind of heading into his last year of his rookie deal kind of played chicken to a degree. And then you go into this offseason, and the franchise tag would have been the kind of leverage to get a deal done. Or if the Chiefs wanted to pick up draft capital and move on, they could have done that. And then, the offseason conditions with the pandemic just threw that in a haymaker into that whole notion. So it's been two off seasons where just complications have really entered this negotiation between the two sides and really kind of knocked them around. Now I think we're going to see what happens in 2021. But the fact that the Chiefs haven't gotten a deal done, to me, it does indicate that there's some of those same concerns that you've mentioned, which is that, can you give that many, big deals around the team? And even if you look around the big money that they've given out to like a Tyrann Mathieu and a Frank Clark, those are big dollar deals, but it's not, it's not the number one contract at their position. Mm-hmm. And that's what apparently Chris Jones is looking for, is, Aaron Donald money. And you mentioned the Rams and you mentioned the deals that they've made. And, I think you're right. The Chiefs don't want to go down that road where they do have that much money tied up in five or six players, and then you literally can't surround Patrick Mahomes with any of the things that he needs. So, and that's a little bit of, even the Chiefs not necessarily wanting to carry that big contract number this year, that salary cap number this year for Chris Jones, they're kind of forced to a degree.
Yeah.
But, you got to balance that line a bit. Where do you draw the line as far as how many of these big deals can you give around and still field a Super Bowl competitor around your quarterback?
Absolutely. Well put. All right. So speaking of a lot of money, how much do we think Mahomes is going to get? Sounds like they're going to negotiate here during the summer. Whether a deal gets done before the season begins remains to be seen. I know you and I have talked about this numerous times. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But what do you think is going to be done here in regards to the amount of money for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's when, not if. It will get done. It's hard to say. I mean, you know, going back even a year and a half ago, the word was, you know, it was going to be a $200 million plus deal. It just, you know, determined about how many years it was going to be. And at one point it was like maybe 200 plus for 7 years, then six, then five. We will see. I mean, the reality of it is that almost whatever deal that Patrick Mahomes signs, he's going to leave money on the table. Because on the open market, you know, I think a team would be crazy not to give him as much money as they had to get him. So, hey, $75 million for Patrick Mahomes would be a bargain. he's not going to get that. That's not what the Chiefs are going to do. But, you know, the quarterback market is kind of it's in flux right now. Everybody seems to be waiting for the next deal that seems like it's going to reset the market. None of the, you know, big name free agents this offseason that signed new deals, you know, Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees staying in New Orleans, none of those really reset the market. Now everybody's kind of looking to Mahomes and Dak Prescott to see what happens. You know, and Dak Prescott, you know, reports are that maybe he's looking for $40 million. He wants to top that deal that Russell Wilson got. And it would certainly would make sense that Patrick Mahomes ends up in that kind of ballpark. So, you know, are we looking at a 5 to 6 year deal plus in the $40 million per season range? I think it's quite possible. Now Mahomes is, you know, kind of in his representation, has kind of on the side, you know, suggested that they don't want to break the Chiefs, that they don't want to make this a situation where Patrick's making all the money and then they can't go out and field a team around him. So, like I said, I mean, he's bound to leave some money on the table. But, you know, also you look at the money that he's made on the field so far in his career, it's not much.
No.
I mean, he's made much more in endorsements. So, you know, at some point you do have to pay him. So we'll see. I mean, I will be surprised if it's not north of $200 million and it's not at least a five-year deal. It'll be the biggest contract in NFL history. I mean, I think he'll get a bigger deal than Prescott does. He should.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, which one of those two guys signs? If Dak Prescott signs,
no,
you know, for $40 million a season,
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is going to get more.
Exactly. And he should. He should, based on the market value. We know he's a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. No question. He's the best quarterback in football. So he should be paid as the best quarterback in football. And it's amazing to me how many people say he should take less money. And I'm like, okay, he already is. He already is. I mean, what he's made the first couple of years and what he's put out on the field and won a Super Bowl and an MVP in the Super Bowl, MVP regular season, he's already underpaid. So if he was on the free agent market right now, like you just said, he'd get tons of money beyond what he's getting now and probably beyond what he'll get from the Chiefs. What about this idea? And I'm not an agent, and boy, I wish I was Mahomes' agent. No doubt about that. But what about the idea, you know, we saw Kirk Cousins, his contract was fully guaranteed. And that was unique. Major League Baseball contracts are guaranteed. NFLs are not. That's why they have the big signing bonus and all that. But what if, to me, there is a scenario, maybe I'm nuts, you could tell me better than I might know, is this a possibility that the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes say, okay, we're going to try to work so we don't blow this whole thing up just because I get way too much money. So let's go ahead and structure this deal to where overall on the deal, I'm willing to take less per year to help. However, I want part of this, or I don't know how much percentage. Let's say it's a $200 million deal. I want $100 million guaranteed or $150 million guaranteed or something like that. Does it make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, you know, doing something like that actually would make sense, you know, doing a guarantee. And there are so many weird things that you can do with a salary cap that allows you to move money around and take your hits in certain seasons. You know, right now the Chiefs have a lot of money actually tied up in just a few players for 2021. So, you know, there are ways that, hey, maybe it's, you know, giving Patrick Mahomes a big signing bonus so he gets his money up front and then smaller base salaries so you can spread the money out over a few seasons, but it doesn't, you know, necessarily, you know, kill you in one specific year. Or you can even take a big hit in 1 year. You give them a roster bonus in one season that blows up the cap number in that year. We also may see some of that creativity. There's, Joel Corey with CBS Sports has, talked about the fact that there are elements of the new collective bargaining agreement that would allow teams maybe some flexibility as far as providing contracts that deliver kind of a percentage of the salary cap, which, might fit, a Patrick Mahomes. Now, we haven't seen any deal like that yet, so it's hard to envision necessarily how those would work. But, and you could also push money around. So, I mean, to me, the expectation, if you're a Chiefs fan, if you're looking at the long-term future, look at what, happened in New England with Tom Brady, which is that they kept, signing renegotiated contracts that just pushed money down the road. Just deal with the fact that 15 years from now, Patrick Mahomes is going to be retired, and in that year after, you're going to have a huge salary cap number where you just eat all the money that you pushed down the road with Mahomes, and that's what's going to happen. So, if you're a Chiefs fan, don't worry about the future. You know what's going to happen. You know you're going to pay the price at some point. Don't worry about it. There's ways that they can move the money around, and I expect that that's probably what you'll see is that, Mahomes will sign a deal, but it's not written in stone. I mean, that will continue to kind of get negotiated around and money pushed around.
A lot of money to move around, no doubt. Okay, Chiefs are the favorite going in the season, according to many. That seems to be appropriate. It's been a while since somebody has repeated as Super Bowl champions. But the Chiefs do seem to have a pretty big advantage. Well, having Mahomes is one big advantage. Two, they have most of the starters back, as we referred to earlier, and then you have the offseason that we have now. How big of an advantage do you think that is for the Chiefs to have that continuity and stability and no real changes on the coaching staff on top of all that, have a lot of the key players, of course, under contract, bring most of the guys back, and then how can they go about defending their Super Bowl championship?
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the coaches, too, which I think is a big deal because normally you win a Super Bowl and you lose people off your staff. And the Chiefs didn't this season. So they bring back the whole core together, 20 of the 22 starters. You're going to probably see, easily 40-plus players return to this team, which, usually you have a pretty generous turnover in the NFL. I mean, it's not uncommon to see 10 or 15 new faces. And I don't think you're going to see that many for the Chiefs on their opening week roster. So the continuity, absolutely, I think, is going to be a big deal because, you're losing, for the rookies, they're losing 16 practices without having off-season workouts. The veterans are losing 13 practices. And for especially teams are going through changes. I mean, teams that hire new coaches get extra practice time. They get extra workout time in the off-season. Now they're getting none of that. So it is a big deal. Now, conversely, what the Chiefs have to kind of, fight against is the, making another run because you can become complacent. You can, rest on your laurels. And if you think you can just throw your helmet on the field and win another one, it ain't going to happen. And that's why I think you're seeing Patrick or Andy Reid preach the message to this team that they can be better. And you're hearing it from the players that, the defense, believes that they've got to be better against the run. They've got to come out starting the season better than they did a year ago. The offense is saying, yeah, we think we can tap into some unreached potential. And I think that's all coming from Andy Reid, who's trying to hold that carrot out there and say, you know what, you guys can win again, but you're not going to do it doing the same thing you did last year. You got to be different. You got to be better. You got to push and compete against yourselves. And so, Andy Reid leans a lot. I asked him last week about, if there was any coaches that he'd reached out to for, help in trying to figure out how to go back-to-back. And he really leans on his experience, working for Mike Holmgren when the Packers in the 1990s went back-to-back Super Bowls. They didn't win them both. They just won the one. But he really views that as the template. I mean, to him, he feels like he's been through that before, of making back-to-back runs. So he feels equipped to do it, and he thinks those lessons that he learned from Mike Holmgren, he can apply to this year's team.
Never hurts to rely on experienced people that have been there and done that before. How has this changed Andy Reid, man? He finally got the monkey off his back and won a Super Bowl, and He seems to be a little bit more relaxed. Not that he was really stressing out during the whole thing last year. But how does that change the perspective for Andy Reid as a whole and the Chiefs organization when you finally win it all?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, the stress does seem to be off. And, you know, and talking to people who've known Andy Reid for a long time, I mean, they say, I mean, in recent years, that he's seemed a lot happier and he has seemed a lot more relaxed. I think he felt like that with Patrick Mahomes, that he was eventually going to win a Super Bowl and kind of get that monkey off his back. But you're right. I mean, at the same time, you still see that intensity with him, and that's, you know, what the players really like about Andy Reid is that he's always been a player's coach. I mean, he really cares about his players and he loves them up. But at the same time, he's also hard on him. And I think you're still seeing that. I mean, even though Andy Reid, I think, you know, at his age, he's a grandfather now. He's a lot different coach than he was 20 years ago. But I think he's probably evolved in the right ways. And there's a reason why players, you know, love playing for him. And why he seems to be able to get the best out of them most of the time. It's unique. It's a unique ability. And I think he's shown that even though he's changed as a coach, you know, he can still win the big one. I mean, he can still put his team in contention. And I think now that he's cracked it, I think there's a belief now that, you know, and not just himself, but all the people around him, they believe, okay, you know what? Yeah, we can do this because we've done it before.
Yep. And it will be interesting because there'll be a bullseye on them every single game. There's no question about that. And I like their chances if they stay healthy and they don't become complacent. I don't see why they shouldn't at least be to the AFC title game. Who do you think is the biggest obstacle? What's the biggest obstacle for the Chiefs? Is it within for complacency, or is it the Ravens, or is it somebody in NFC? I mean, when you look at the whole landscape of the National Football League and what teams did, and the Ravens had a really good draft, I thought. Is it just basically between the Chiefs and the Ravens? Or are we overlooking somebody?
No, I mean, to me, I think that's it. I mean, I think those are the two teams that are the best in class. There's bound to be someone that pops up, you know, that was down last year in the AFC. And to me, that seems most likely to be the Colts. You know, bringing in Phillip Rivers, I think, is going to, you know, add some stability to offense. Now, their team as well, that the off season and not having that may slow them down a bit, but I think that the team that, you know, should be in playoff contention, you know, you look at a team like Buffalo, they seem kind of maybe primed for a step backwards, even though defensively they're driven, which normally, you know, you can lean on. But, you know, the Chiefs and the Ravens are just head and shoulders above everybody else. And then on top of that, I think they both got better this offseason. This offseason benefited them in so many ways. And you're right. I mean, the Ravens had a very deep, I think, nice draft that should be an influx of talent, not just for 2020, but beyond. You know, I think they've got some questions. I mean, they still have an offense that, as we saw in the playoffs, if they fall behind, it's not built for that. And the Chiefs have, you know, it's been two close games the last couple of years, but they've had the number of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So I think you got to still feel good about their chances. But you're right. I mean, Chiefs are going to have a bullseye on their back every single week. And, you know, and that week three matchup between the Chiefs and the Ravens is going to be an absolute classic. It should be. And now it may not tell us what's going to happen down the road, but and the Ravens have a really comfortable schedule. So they should. I think these two teams should absolutely finish with the best records in the AFC. The challenge might be, hey, will the Chiefs end up having to go to Baltimore for the AFC title game? And maybe that makes a difference. It could.
All right. What are you hearing in regards to the season starting on time? What are you hearing in regards to Arrowhead in particular? Because, of course, that first night, Thursday Night Football, that's when there's supposed to be the big celebration. It would feel a little bit odd and really kind of sad if there are no fans there.
Yeah, that would be really unfortunate because, I mean, that's kind of a celebration game. I mean, that's your chance to really put on a show the way it's become in the last few years in the NFL, and that Thursday night game. The NFL is in a different spot than the other sports, and as a result, that they've been taking a different approach, which, you know, the NFL and the teams are basically, we're going to continue to assume that everything is going to be business as usual, and then we'll adjust if it's not. So, I mean, the NFL is proceeding. I mean, and you look at the schedule, and that's an indication of it. I mean, they're firmly believing that they can get started on week one. They're planning on having fans there, but they're ready to adapt if they have to. You know, the Chiefs have been pretty close-lipped and tight-lipped about, you know, what their, you know, contingency plans are. They have not gone to the move. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, are only selling 50% of their season tickets just in case. Chiefs haven't made any of that accommodation yet. They have indicated that, you know, if they don't have full stadiums, they'll be making refunds. But that kind of fits in with the league's philosophy, which is proceeding as everything is going to be normal, that training camps will open up on time, that there will be fans there and there and fans for the games, and then they will adjust if they need to. So it's also kind of in flux. I mean, everything is up in the air. I think it was still, you know, based on what I'm hearing and what people are talking about, it seems unlikely that we will probably go into week one with full stadiums, but it's really going to depend on what happens, I think, in the other sports over the next couple of months, what their experiences are. You know, I think everything is still in play, but we'll see. I mean, the contingency plans are there for just about any option that pops up, whatever, you know, whatever the league is dealt with. They seem like they're prepared and ready to make changes if they have to.
Who knows what's going to happen? I know you and I both don't have the answers, so, and nobody does. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I just hope we have a full football season, or at least a partial one. I don't know what to expect either. All right, time for the off-the-wall question from Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest. Have you been able to get a haircut? And if so, how long did you have to wait? How long did you go between haircuts? And how long do you think you really could have gone without being driven bonkers by not having a haircut?
I have not had a haircut yet. I'm trying to remember because I know I got a cut after the Super Bowl, so I think it was in late February, very early March. And I normally go about 6 to 8 weeks, so I'm definitely overdue at this point. And you know, I'm getting older, so my hair is thinning a little bit. My wife said she didn't know I could still grow hair in some places, and I have hair on my head growing. My real concern now is that when my hair gets long in the back, I kind of get that mullet going. It kind of curls. So I'm starting to get to that point. And I mean, at this point, it's almost like it's maybe a challenge. Maybe I just need to see how far it goes out and what I end up looking like.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, as I get older, the more it grows out, I feel kind of cool. At the same time, I see more gray. So it's kind of counterproductive, to be quite honest with you.
Exactly.
All right. Well, what are your plans then as you go through and get ready for the season? Do you just go about it as everything's supposed to be about as normal as usual? Is that how you go about it, preparing for next season? Is that all you can do?
Yeah, we're trying to. I mean, you know, and definitely not being in person for the off-season workouts makes it difficult, because normally at this time of year, we get the chance to talk to the rookies one-on-one. The veterans would now be starting to come in, so you get to do a little bit of that. With this off-season, I mean, there's none of that. I mean, we're doing the conference calls and the Zoom videos, but it's definitely not the same, and, you know, and you're not able to see the black practices, so we're not really getting a sense of where the depth charts are. So there's some new wrinkles that we're kind of having to roll with and kind of figuring out. So I don't think that we know nearly as much about these teams as we normally do at this time of year, and probably the same teams are in the same boat themselves. So we're kind of all just rolling with the punches right now.
All right, let everybody know how they can read your work and stay up to date on the latest.
Go to ChiefsDigest.com. That will keep you up to date with all of the latest. You can also follow me, Matt Derrick, on Twitter, and ChiefsDigest.com on Facebook.
Fantastic. Matthew, always a treat to have you on the show. And next time we talk to you, hopefully we are gearing up and getting ready for a season opener, and the Chiefs can enjoy that ceremony and getting the rings and everything else, and look to go back-to-back. And it's been a while since that's happened. Matthew, thanks for your time, and have a great rest of your summer.
Sounds like a great plan. Thanks a lot, Wade.
That's Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest, our guest today on The Ticket.